Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott, and today we are going to talk about apostles. So, if you've been following along in this series, we are doing some discussions on the fivefold ministry and really how God establishes his government and fulfills his government through and in the church through these five gifts. Remember, these are gifts. They come from God. They're not man-derived. That these gifts come from God. He's the one who measures and portions them out according to his will and purpose. All right? So these are not, when I was younger, I remember sitting around with a bunch of friends when I was younger, and we would sit around and we would talk about, well, you know, what gift are you? And some would say, well, I think I'm an evangelist, or I think I'm a teacher or a prophet. Or, you know, that's not how these work at all. It's not like you pick the one that you think lines up the best with your personality, right? So there's really just a small percentage of people in the church that probably have these fivefold giftings and anointings. And remember, they are a gift of Christ himself, okay? Christ measures out a portion of himself and he puts it in a person, and that is that gift, right? So remember, for example, like a prophet doesn't just have the gift of a prophet. That person is the gift of a prophet, okay? And I think that's important for us to know. So today we're going to talk about the apostles. And, you know, this has a lot of controversy right now because people don't understand biblical scripture as it pertains to the apostles. Through the history of the church, really with the Reformation after the Catholic Church, really there's a lot of reasons. One is we have to understand that the Catholic Church teaches something called apostolic succession. In other words, the Catholic Church tries to claim that Peter, the original apostle, was the original apostle of the church, and that they have apostolic succession. In other words, since Peter, they have the leading apostle, the apostle that was the leader in the church, they have all laid hands on the successor. So Peter laid hands on his successor, who laid hands on his successor and appointed them as apostles. And so that is what the Roman Catholic Church claims is the position of the Pope, right? They claim direct apostolic succession, and that's a big claim of theirs, that we are descended from Peter in apostolic succession. But if you read scripture, you realize it's not man who ordained someone to be an apostle. That's not it. It is God. It is the Christ. It is the gift that he gives them that ordains someone to be an apostle. Okay? So, and then if we actually read scripture, we realize that Peter probably, when you read it, especially in Acts 15, you realize that Peter probably wasn't even the one who was the leader of the overall church in Jerusalem. Okay, scripture's in Acts 15 has a very unique showing where it was probably James who was the original, who was probably the head over everything because of what we talked about in the previous podcast. Anyway, so let's talk real quick about that, because what happened is then the Reformation happened, Martin Luther comes, and you know the Catholic Church is saying, well, we have direct apostolic succession. You know, we derived from Peter, and we have miracles. So what does Martin Luther do? He immediately starts deriving a theology that discredits the apostolic succession as well as miracles. Okay, this is where like cessationism is born. So what happens essentially is he says, no, the gift of the apostle died out with all the other gifts. Okay, when all the other gifts died out, so did the gift of apostle. It was just the early church. They were the only ones with the gift. And so what he did is he essentially took away the apostolic gift from the Protestant church, okay? Which is wrong. When you read scripture, you understand that. We'll talk about that today. So people argue that apostles, you know, you can't be an apostle because apostles had authority to write scripture. Well, that's a wrong argument too, because most of the New Testament was not even written by an apostle, okay? Luke actually in terms of words, the author Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts, his works include a third of the New Testament, right? Because of how big his books are. The Gospel of Mark, okay, that's not written by an apostle. Okay, so we need to understand this. And then all the other ones, you know, Hebrews, some of the other ones, they're not all written by apostles, and we need to understand that. And so that's not a good excuse either. Writing scripture has nothing to do with whether you were an appointed apostle or not, okay? The other thing that they argue is that apostles aren't around because they were established by Jesus Christ. They were the original 12. That we'll talk about because there are different categories of apostles. There are three different categories of apostles, and that's what we're going to talk about real quick. So the first category of apostle, let's talk about these because there is kind of like in terms of authority, let's talk about this real quick. The greatest apostle. Who is the greatest apostle? You know, if you're Protestant, you're probably going to say Paul. Okay, if you're Catholic, you're probably going to say Peter. But really, Jesus is the greatest apostle, right? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Therefore, holy brethren, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession." So Jesus is the highest apostle. He stands alone. There is none like him. He is in a category all to himself, but he is an apostle. Okay. Remember in an earlier podcast, I said that each of these fivefold giftings of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, each of those are a manifestation and expression of who Jesus is and was when he walked this earth, right? He was the great apostle sent from the Father for a mission. Okay. It's a big characteristic of an apostle. He was the great prophet. He was a great evangelist, the great teacher, the good shepherd. Okay, and so what happens is he breaks himself apart and gives those aspects of himself to people who then become that gift. Okay, that's the essence of the fivefold. So Jesus is first and foremost, right? So then, you know, people will say, okay, well, Jesus is the high apostle. Well, then you get to the other group of apostles. Okay, the other group of the apostles are what we would call the 12 apostles. Okay, and if you go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, then you see that these apostles also stand alone unique. So Revelation chapter 21, 14 says this. It says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." There you go. So the 12 apostles are unique, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the original 12. Okay, that doesn't include Judas. So you say, well, who's the 12th one? A lot of people try to say Paul was supposed to be an apostle. Paul was supposed to be the 12th. The disciples, they made a decision too soon. That is false. Okay, Matthias. Matthias was chosen to replace Judas, and it was in fulfillment of Scripture. Matthias is the authentic replacement of Judas, and he is one of the 12 apostles, right? And you're going to say, well, how do you know? Well, we're going to talk about it in a second, okay? Because what is unique about the 12 apostles of the Lamb? First of all, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, their apostleship was chosen before Jesus Christ ascended. Remember, the fivefold ministry gifts are also called ascension gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12, they're called ascension gifts. So if you go and you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12, it tells you, kind of like we've talked about, it says, when he ascended on high, okay, he ascended, and after he ascended, he gave, okay, so in other words, after Christ ascended, okay, in the beginning of Acts, after he ascended, Acts chapter 1, it says, after he ascended, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. So the ascension gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts, are distinct from what I would call the apostleship of the early original 12, the apostles of the Lamb. Because Paul got his apostleship after Christ had ascended. Christ had already ascended, and then he was named apostle. And so he's actually a gift. He's actually a fivefold ministry gift in what we'd call that third category of apostles, right? So the original 12, they got their apostleship through Jesus Christ, through direct appointment of Jesus Christ, with the exception of Matthias, but we're going to talk about that. Okay, so remember Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends, they're all prayer together, and you got to understand that while the Holy Spirit hadn't come in the fullness to indwell people, Jesus Christ had released the Holy Spirit on the apostles. Okay, if you go read at the end of Luke, it says that Jesus breathed upon them, right? Breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. This was before he ascended and before the Holy Spirit fully came. So they had a measure of the Holy Spirit. They were in prayer, seeking the Lord together. And then in Acts chapter 1, Peter stands up and he says, Scripture says, he says, this is what Scripture says. Scripture told about Judas, who would betray Jesus, who would be numbered among us, who would pretty much abandon his position, okay, all that. And so in verse 20 of chapter 1, it says, For it is written in the book of Psalms, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So this was Peter. Peter was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy by choosing Matthias, okay? And there's a lot of people who say, well, it was supposed to be Paul. Where does it say that in Scripture? Okay. Instead, what we're getting is we're getting Peter, who stands up on multiple occasions in the first few chapters and said, as Scripture says, the prophetic spirit that was operating in him is leading him and guiding him, and the Holy Spirit is guiding him to make this decision. So Matthias was the correct decision. Okay, what happens is because Paul has formed so much of our theology, New Testament theology, because of his writings, we want to include him in the original 12, but he's not. Okay, he's not. He was a very gifted apostle. Okay, but his gift was an ascension gift, a fivefold ministry gift. Matthias is one of the original 12. And why? Because in order to be one of the original 12, you had to be with Jesus from the beginning. Okay, so if you go and you read from verse 21 all the way down to 26 in the first chapter of Acts, it describes that. In order to be one of the original 12, you had to have walked with Jesus during his time on earth. In other words, you had to have seen Jesus, talked with Jesus, interacted with Jesus. And not only that, you had to be a witness from the beginning, from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up, the ascension of Christ. You had to witness his resurrection, right? And there were only two people that they put forth. That was Joseph, Matthias, okay? They were the only two who had been with Jesus in the group from the beginning. So in order to be one of the original 12, you had to have witnessed Jesus and lived life with Jesus and been a witness of his death, his resurrection, as well as his ministry. Okay, and that's what makes them unique. All other apostles that are mentioned are fivefold gifting apostles that received their gift after Christ ascended. Okay, and I think that's important for us to realize that. So, when you understand that, then you understand that there's three categories of apostles. The first two are no longer in operation on earth, at least in the fact that those groups are no longer growing. They're closed groups, right? So Jesus Christ, our high apostle, right? Then you get the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 apostles, okay? They were unique in their authority and function, okay? And then you get the fivefold ministry gift of apostle, okay? These are the gifts that came after Christ ascended, okay? They didn't come before. They came after he ascended, and they are still in operation today. So the apostle has a very important and unique role in the church, and they're still in operation today. Now, there's a guy named Philip Moabier, and he wrote a book called Hands of Jesus. I don't even know if you can even get a copy of it anymore, but he has a quote in there, and it says this: an apostle is a person. Okay, an apostle is a person with a function. It is not a title, and it should never must never be thought of in terms of a status symbol, an office, a position of privilege. The apostle is not the end of some hierarchical structure in the church or any part of a papal system. The apostle is not your bishop, overseer, your superintendent, reverend, nor is he the top leader of a pyramid structure. Okay, he says this is totally contrary to the understanding of the New Testament. The apostle is a service, it's a person, and it is a service, not a status. Okay, and I think we need to understand that. The literally, if you want to go and look at what does an apostle actually mean, The word literally means to be sent out. Okay, that's what it means. It literally is to send forth. But we need to understand that that's not just the only definition that says, well, this makes you apostle because you were sent out. But you have to understand that this word is significant. Apostolos is the word in Greek, and it's significant because the sender becomes united with the person who is sent. In other words, Jesus Christ is the sender, right? He's the one who anoints and appoints people with these giftings, and he sends them out. And so what happens is this word apostolos, it's connected. It's a very intimate word where the person being sent is intimately connected with the sender. Okay, and it denotes the man who is sent has the full authority of the one who is sending him. All right, and so in that sense, an apostle is truly, truly an ambassador. Right, and so actually, if you go through your Bible, you'll see that there are a lot of apostles in the Bible. There are a lot of apostles. Okay, you have the original 12, but then you have people who are, let's just say, people who are specifically called apostles. Okay, you have Matthias in Acts 14. You have Andronicus, Romans 16:7, Junius, Romans 16:7, Apollos, Titus, James, not the original apostle, but the Lord's brother James, Silvanus and Timothy, that's 1 Thessalonians 1:1. And then chapter 2. Okay, so you have about 25 direct references to people who are called apostles. Okay, then you get Paul and Barnabas. Okay, so there are others as well. So there are more than just the 12 apostles in the Bible, and we need to make sure that we understand that. So think of the three groups: Jesus, the original 12, and then what I would call the post-ascension or the fivefold giftings of the apostolic. Now, that's all interesting and everything, but let's talk about the role of the apostle, you know, because that's a really talked about thing. It's hard to peg what apostles actually do, and the reason is because there's so much variety, right? So because the person is the gift, there are also very unique expressions because each person is different, right? Each person is different. But we do need to understand that there are certain common functions, and so I want to read. There's a guy named Samuel Matthews. He has a book, pretty good book, called Apostolic Teams. You probably get it on Kindle if you're interested in this, and he talks about the fivefold pretty much. But I want to talk about some of the functions that he lists for the apostle. Right. So first thing about the apostle, though. Let me go back here. The apostles, as well as the prophets, do have a unique role. They have a unique role in teaching, training, imparting, and then also kind of they help coordinate the other gifts. Okay? Doesn't mean that they're over. Okay, we think in terms of American business where, oh, you're the CEO. That means you're over everyone. You can fire people. Not true. Okay? Remember, apostles are first among equals. They're first among equals. It's a very humble servant position. Can't all the apostles that you read their letters, Paul, Peter, James, they say, I am a servant of all. Okay, that's what they say, a servant of Christ, a servant of all. So they have a unique role, though. Okay, apostles and prophets are usually responsible for the direct revelation and impartation from God, which they then express to the church. So their ministry expresses God's will, his heart, his purposes, and then also they help establish the healthy doctrines and the foundations of the church. So apostles are really kind of, they speak forth God's blueprint, right? Paul refers to himself as the master builder, and he says, it's not me, but it's the grace of God working in me. In other words, that gift, that apostolic gift. Okay, the apostle, a person who is gifted as an apostle, a fivefold ministry gift, it's not how awesome they are, it's the degree they can surrender and allow Christ to do what he wants to do through their life. Okay, it's really a position of surrender. The greatest apostles are the ones who have the ability to fully surrender to what the Lord wants to do in their lives and through their lives. So the apostles can speak forth God's blueprint for what the church is to be. Okay? That's a big one. They really speak through the blueprint for what the church is supposed to be. They're kind of like master builders, right? And so let's talk about some similarities that we see in their ministries. Apostolic teams by Sam Matthews to kind of, he lists 11 that I think are really point on. And we're just going to go through these. So these are just similarities, apostolic similarities in how they function. Apostles are usually involved with the founding and establishing of churches. All right. The apostle has the evidence of the gift of the apostle, as signs, wonders, and miracles. That's a big one. Okay. The sign of the apostle has to do with signs, miracles, and wonders. Apostles are involved with ordination and appointing of elders and deacons. Apostles are involved in the maturing training, the choosing and sending out of ministries or missionaries into the work of the Lord. The apostle is concerned that for the church, okay, and oversight of the church, because one of the biggest concerns of the apostle is that Christ is formed in the church. And that the church is being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just right here pause for a second. Where a pastor is concerned for individuals, okay, and that is just his like natural concern. An apostle is concerned for the church. So a pastor is like, I want this person to be conformed to the image of Christ. I want Christ formed in them. The apostle is like the church. I want that they obsess over the state of the church. I want the body. I want the bride of Christ to be, you know, transformed and walking in this. And so anyway, when you understand, so apostles are really concerned as the whole church. Like when I say church, I'm not talking about their local church, but I'm also talking about as a whole. Maybe a regional church, maybe the universal church. It is always on their mind, and they obsess over it, okay, in a good way. Okay, they're driven towards it. The apostle is used in cooperation with other ministries to form like elders, for leaders for churches. They lay hands on others so they might receive spiritual gifts. The apostle, he gives his life to the church. It is a surrendered position where you pour your life out as an offering for the church. The apostle is a father. Okay, that's a big one. Okay, he's a father position. The apostle is involved with discipline. Okay, we see that in a lot of the letters of Paul and some of the other apostles. They're focusing on disciplining the church in a healthy way, right? The apostle is involved in dealing with false teachings or false practices. Again, it's very clearly seen in the letters of the apostles in the New Testament. And then with also church correction. So there's a lot of, you know, people that we see in the Bible. These are a lot of the functions that we see operating through the apostles in the Bible. Now, we have to understand, too, that there are differences. Like Peter, you remember, Peter was, he was apostle, but he was gifted. He was a fisherman. Okay, he was a fisherman. He was a gatherer. Okay, and so Peter, even though he was an apostle, he was very unique for gathering people. And look at Acts 2 and Acts 3 and all these things where Peter stands up and people were just gathered around him. Okay, he was a gatherer. We saw this on his life. Paul had this architectural anointing where he just knew the architectural blueprints of the church. Right. Paul was gifted in doctrine and understanding Old Testament and things like that. So he was gifted for those things. Then you get to like James. Okay, he was the established leader. This is not the original apostle James. This is the brother of Jesus, James. He was the established leader in the Jerusalem church. We can see that in Acts 15. You see wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Hebrew scriptures. Okay, he was probably given oversight of the church as a whole in that region. Barnabas was called an apostle, and he was an encourager. Okay, probably had a really good prophetic gift for encouraging people. And then you want to talk about a fathering gift. I love Barnabas because you see this happen consistently with Barnabas. When he became a Christian, everyone was scared, and even the original apostles refused to go because they said, well, he's been killing Christians. We're not going to go talk to him. But it says, but Barnabas went and grabbed Saul and brought them before the apostles. Barnabas saw and saw what God's calling was. The same happens with Mark, John Mark. Remember, John Mark traveled with Paul and Barnabas, but then him and Paul, I guess Paul thought that he wasn't ready, because he turned back. And Paul and Barnabas got in an argument, and they split up. So Paul took Silas, and then Barnabas took John Mark to do his missionary work. But, you know, there was something that Barnabas saw in Mark that said, this kid has a calling and gifting. And then later in Scripture, towards the end of Paul's life, you actually see Paul ask for Mark to come, he says, because he's beneficial to me. So Barnabas invested in his life and birthed this thing to where at first Paul couldn't see it or didn't have time for it. But Barnabas, being the father he was and the encourager, was able to birth that in him. And you see that progression through Scripture. Apollos was pretty much called an apostle through just induction of Scripture. You just read it, you can deduce it. He was spoken of as an apostle, and he was very gifted in teaching. Okay, knowledge of the Scripture, and not only teaching, but being able to speak. And then you get John the Revelator, John the one who wrote the book of Revelation. His beginning of his book is disciplining and calling churches back and restoring churches back. But he had a great prophetic revelation. Okay, so you get all these unique, different examples of apostles as well in the Bible. And I think that's important for us to know. So an apostle obviously is a preacher of the kingdom of God. Okay, they have the signs that accompany them. They're ambassadors. Many of them, not all of them, many of them plant churches and oversee churches. But just because you oversee and plant a church doesn't mean you're an apostle either. That's the challenge of these things. Is you can't look at the way someone functions only alone and say, oh, this person's an apostle. You really have to have the witness of the Holy Spirit for that. And I'll give you one. For example, I remember when I was in Colombia, a good friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name, but a good friend of mine, everyone that said would talk about him, would say, oh, he's actually an apostle. And I'd be like, no. And they say, yeah, all the prophets that come in have said that he's an apostle. And I was like, no, I know this guy. There's no way he's got that gift. And I remember one day we were in a conference, and as we're sitting there, he was speaking. And I remember the Lord very clearly spoke to me, and he said, this is my apostle. And when the Lord spoke that to me, all of a sudden, I got the revelation and the realization that this man truly was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it didn't matter what his life had looked like in that minute. Not that he was living in sin, but the fact that I had said, there's no way I know him. He's not an apostle. But the Lord says he is, because he is a gift. And I tell you what, he had just turned 40 that year, and within 5 years, this gifting in his life had manifested to a degree where I look at him now and I'm like, this man is a great apostle of the Lord. So you can't just go by what you see. You have to really hear the Lord on these things. So that's it right now for the apostle. If you want to know, the apostle does have a unique authority. They're usually visionaries in the sense that they can see what God wants to do. Okay, the apostle can typically see what the Lord wants to do, and based off of that, they build. They build according to that. One thing about the apostles, let's talk about some of their weaknesses maybe. Because they usually are carrying such a burden of the Lord for the church, they might get short with people. They might not have the compassion that you might think they should have. They might seem very demanding. They might seem like they don't have time for shenanigans because they're like, there's so much to build and we got to go. Okay, that's just some tendencies they might have. They might focus on the forest and sometimes miss the trees. And they can maybe kind of have an intense personality at times. All right, that's just some, and a lot of these are coming from Samuel Matthews. Kind of lists a few others in his book as well. Just maybe some things to look out for apostles. Not that they're bad or anything, but he just says, you know, look, this right here can happen. One of the areas of an apostle is this, you know, in terms of maybe some struggles they might have. But it's really important to understand that apostles usually are obsessing over the body and where they need to be and where they are. So they have a really hard time sometimes living in the present, and they live for the future because they're so visionaries, and they're like, we should be here. And a lot of times they don't understand the progression that they're making to get there. You got to understand that apostles are still people. They're still humans, okay? They're not some supernatural being like an angel, okay? So they still have, you know, they still have issues and struggles. And, you know, in this book, one thing he says is a lot of apostles have major insecurities because of just, you know, just the call on their life and things like that. And we just need to make sure that we're not judging people based off of just how they function or who they are, but we can see the gifting and call of God on their life. So that's all we have for today, guys. Pretty much covered the apostles, so we'll pick up tomorrow or next podcast with our next fivefold ministry. All right, guys, be blessed.